Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My brothers and sisters, we saw how the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam called out to Allah for everything, for his children, for the city, the progeny, the hereafter, and there was almost no dua that he missed out. And this is why Allah has mentioned a lot of the du'as of Ibrahim alayhi salam, dua meaning the supplications of the Prophet Abraham, may peace be upon him, in the Quran. And from among them, we've been through some of them, but every time he did a good deed, he always asked Allah to accept the good deed. An example of which is the building of the Kaaba. When he built the Kaaba, at the end he says, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Oh Allah, accept it from us. You are indeed the all-hearing, the all-knowing. We did this. We tried our best. We fulfilled your instruction. We want you to accept it from us. Now, I learn from this that whenever I do a good deed, I need to ask Allah to accept it from me, because it may not be upon the highest level of concentration. If it's a prayer or an act of worship like recitation of the Quran, it may not be done in the most complete way because I'm a human being. But we did it ultimately for the sake of Allah. Shaytan may have come to try and contaminate a little bit here and there. We fought Shaytan. And now we're saying, oh Allah, accept it from us. You're indeed all hearing, all knowing. We tried our best. Brothers and sisters, you and I are human beings. That is good enough. That is good enough. Don't allow Shaytan to make you doubt your deed once you've packed it away for the sake of Allah. Remember that the fight or the war with Shaytan is all about him trying to make us doubt the mercy of Allah and doubt the acts of worship we are fulfilling for Allah. So I want to worship Allah and worship Allah alone. When I worship Allah and worship Allah alone, Shaytan will come to me and try to contaminate my mind, to make me think, maybe you didn't do this for Allah. Maybe you actually committed shirk in this and in that. To be honest, beyond a certain point, it becomes a sickness and a disease. It's known as waswasa. Waswasa meaning the whispering of the devil and the doubts that the devil creates. You're taught to throw away those doubts. Kick them out. I'd rather worship Allah with a mistake than to entertain the whispering of Shaytan even once. Because Shaytan wants me to divert. Allah says, do your best, make dua that I accept it and I will accept it. Imagine if a person fulfills his prayer and he's not sure whether he is upon ablution known as wudu or not. What's the ruling? The Prophet ﷺ says, well, what's the last thing you remember doing? Do you remember washing up or do you remember breaking your wudu or your ablution? If you remember washing up clearly as the last thing you did, that means you're clean, you can pray. And don't worry, we'll accept the prayer. Even if we knew that you actually broke your wudu. Amazing. Look at how Allah and His mercy is. Look at how Allah's mercy is. You broke your wudu, but you can't remember breaking it. So now when you get to the time of salah and you're asking yourself, do I have wudu? Do I not have wudu? Wudu is the ablution. And you follow the instruction of the Prophet, peace be upon him. He says, what's the last thing you clearly remember doing? Well, the last thing I remember doing is I made wudu. Can't remember breaking it after that. Allah knows you broke it. But anyway, Allah says, okay, if that's the last thing you remember doing, you're clean. Go and pray. You prayed and your salah is done. Allah will accept that prayer from you by His mercy. And if you want, maybe on the day of judgment, you might find out, you know, that day you didn't have wudu, but your salah was valid. And that's why if you make an error of that nature, and in fact, the hadith teaches you how to solve it, Allah didn't mind the fact that you prayed without wudu because you did what you had to. This is a very, very detailed example, especially for those who are struggling with a bit of OCD on that part. That Allah tells you, okay, you don't have wudu or you're unwell, you can't use water for some reason, for some medical reason, you can just use dust and it will clean you. You and I, dust is dirty, but religiously it's clean, it's pure. Subhanallah. So Allah is telling you, don't worry, I'll accept the prayer even without the water. Because either you don't have water, you can't get to the water, or medically you can't use the water. Amazing. This is the hope that Allah gives us to say, oh man, try your best. I want to pray. I can't stand. Allah says, no problem, sit and pray. Oh, but I can't sit either. Allah says, no problem, lie down and pray. Wow. I want to fast, but I'm traveling. Allah says, no problem, make it up another day. I can't even make it up another day because I'm not well. Allah says, no problem, you can just pay a fidya. You can give a certain amount because there is no hope of you making up the fast due to your sickness and illness. Allahu Akbar. Look at the mercy of Allah. What more in terms of hope do we want? Allah has given you all the hope. And this is why I tell people who keep doubting their acts of worship, you know what? You're falling into the trap of shaitan. He is the one who creates doubts. Doubts are not from Allah. Allah says, hey, don't doubt things. Just do it to the best of your ability and move on. We will accept it. And it's not going to be perfect because nobody has ever fulfilled a perfect prayer from amongst us. The Prophet ﷺ, yes indeed, but he's gone. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That's the Prophet ﷺ. Obviously, he lives on when it comes to his example and his teachings and so on. But at the same time, the Prophet ﷺ, that was perfection. We are not perfect at all. Not at all. None of us can say, I have 100% concentration in my prayer, and you know, I've done everything absolutely to the letter, and that's it, it's perfect. Allah says, at the end of the day, you will only enter paradise through my mercy, not through your deeds. You will only enter paradise through my mercy, not through your deeds, which means your deeds, you have to do them. But you must make sure that shaitan does not create doubt in your mind and hopelessness. You do it to the best of your ability and ask us to accept it through our mercy. We will accept it as is. For as long as it was done for us, and for as long as it was done for us alone, following the path of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, you've got nothing to worry about. The minute you do deeds for someone besides Allah, you're asking for trouble, because that's called shirk. And the minute you do deeds of acts of worship that were not taught by the Prophet ﷺ, then too, you're asking for trouble, because you're supposed to be worshipping Allah the way He taught you through the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Here goes, my brothers and sisters, what beautiful hope. What beautiful healing. I pray that Allah grant healing to all those struggling with some form of OCD, with some form of disorder, whereby they entertain the waswasa and the whisperings and the doubts of shaitan that he creates in the minds and hearts of people. Here is Allah telling you, establish your prayer and then ask Allah to accept it from you. He will. When you become very fussy about matters of cleanliness, such that nothing is ever clean, remind yourself that Allah is your Lord. He expects you to try your best, and He knows that there will be some uncleanliness perhaps. There will be some things beyond your human ability, and everyone's capacity is of a different level. So it's not going to be exactly the same with everyone. You try your best and you move on. In fact, what I told you about prayer and wudu, the same would apply when it comes to a lot of other rulings in Islam. Allah is merciful. He's laid down instructions. Try your best. Fattaqullaha mastata'tum. You know, you need to develop the taqwa to the best of your capacity, your ability. Allah knows it's not going to be upon that level of the Messenger or the level of his companions, etc. It's going to be on a much lower level, but Allah will accept it. He will. He loves you. Allah is just what you tried your best. That's what it is. So I pray that these few words of healing and the lessons we learned today can actually help a lot. I want to move on to the advice of Yaqub, the Prophet Jacob, may peace be upon him, encapsulated in verse number 133 of Surat Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, were you present at the time when death came to the Prophet Jacob? He called his children and he actually told them, who will you worship after me? And they said, we will worship Allah, your Lord and the Lord of our forefathers, Allah alone. This goes to teach us that in order to instill hope in our own selves and that of our progeny and so on, we must constantly remind them of Allah, learn and teach them, in a way that they understand, in a convincing way. Teach them about who is the one who made them, whom they owe worship to. Who will you worship when I die? Have I fulfilled my duty unto you? Your children are just an amana, entrusted to you. A trust entrusted to you. Fulfill it in the best possible way. May Allah grant us the coolness of our eyes through our children, and may Allah grant us all paradise and the ability to worship Allah alone. Ameen. أقول قولي هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.